first Sunday of Advent, you know, the outside world is preparing for Christmas. But in here, it's still Advent. And Advent means waiting. We wait for the arrival of what? The Christ child. And we also wait now for the second coming. That's what we're waiting for as well. And that's one of the things we do during Advent. It may not feel like Christmas yet, but you can see all of the decorations and how the sanctuary is getting prepared for the Christ child. That was due to our worship committee. I want to thank them for all that they do in getting us prepared and ready for the Christmas time. And a couple of things. This is my last Sunday in front of you as a single woman. Next Saturday is my wedding day at noon, and everyone is invited to the wedding. We hope you can come. Thank you. I hope you can come. The next day is our cantata, so what happens then? One service at what time? 10:30. Y'all passed the test. Y'all passed the test, 10:30. And I won't be here, so I will miss the cantata. How come?
You'll be busy. How many kids y'all gonna have?
None of your business.
You go, sister.
All right. Anyway, what a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord to worship our God today. I am so grateful for you and for this church and for the ministries of this church that we do so well here. And that means you, and that means you, and that means even those who aren't here. We are just so grateful for all of you. Thank you very much. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
George, that was wonderful. Love that. That was awesome. Well, good morning, Calvary. It is really a joy to see all of you this morning. I do imagine everybody had a pretty nice Thanksgiving. Yes, very good. Ate lots of turkey? Well, that's over, and here we are in Advent. What a glorious, glorious place to be in. Well, good morning, and my name is Robin Stowers, and newsletters are out. Our newsletters are out. They are at each Narthex, yes, ma'am, newsletter. So get your newsletters and your calendar. Also this morning, as Pastor already said, we will just be having one service next week, and everybody knows what time that is. And there will be Sunday school from 9 to 10. So we'll see everybody here at 10:30 next Sunday for our cantata, and we will be missing you. Okay. Don't forget, we are still accepting the gift cards for the children's home so that they can have a Merry Christmas. This is the last Sunday for the November donations for W.E. Cherry, and I'm sorry, but we don't know yet what the items will be for next month, but we'll let you know next Sunday, okay? Also, don't forget, if you want to participate in the Progressive Dinner, there are still some inserts on the back table and on each table out in the narthex. So if you want to participate in that, please fill it out, and you can put that in the offering plate. Also, salty service, prayer and praise, and your welcome cards. Don't forget to do those. Okay, very good. And let's see. We have the food pantry on Friday. Okay, do we have any other announcements, Miss Betty? Well, as you know, she's holding up the sign. It is Fifth Sunday, and you do have special envelopes for that. So if you... We'll take it anyway. Thank you very much. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, let me see here. I would like to ask... the Bryant family to come forward for our Advent lighting.
Okay. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with a power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The wise men and the shepherds saw signs that foretold Jesus' coming 2,000 years ago. Today, we don't look for a single brilliant star to follow or for angels singing in the heavens. We look for other signs that Jesus is with us, signs that we are feeding the hungry, healing the sick, clothing the naked, caring for the poor, working for justice and righteousness at home and in our world. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And so we watch and wait and stay alert, waiting again for the coming of Jesus. And we light a single candle in the preparation for the glorious day. If everyone will join me in, come, Lord Jesus, amen.
Great job.
If you'd please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 102, we'll sing Now Thank We All Our God. turn to 882, we'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today, I have a couple things in my hands that I want to show you. What is this? It's a box of tissues. And could I fit this in my purse? No, I don't think I could. What about your back pocket? Could you fit it in your back pocket? No, I don't think so. But what about this? So I could put this in my purse or in your back pocket. You'd have a nice place to hold it. And if you ever had a runny nose, there your tissues would be. You'd be ready for it. You'd be prepared. And that's what we're talking about today, being prepared. And who are we preparing for? Jesus' birth. That's exactly right. And I wanted to talk with you about what it means to be prepared for Jesus' birth. I brought those Kleenexes because my mother used to carry this purse that had everything in it. She could have probably pulled out the kitchen sink if I needed it. If I had a thorn in my finger, she'd pull out the tweezers. If I had a runny nose, she'd pull out the Kleenex. If I lost a button, she'd pull out her sewing kit. She had everything in the world in her purse. And she was prepared for anything that happened. Mothers are like that. Mothers are like that. They're prepared. I don't know if they still carry purses anymore, but I do know that they are prepared. They have to be prepared for anything. And that's what we're going to talk about, is being prepared for the coming of Christ. Now, how do you think we can get prepared? How do you think we can get prepared? Brandon? We can light 4 candles, one each Sunday, like we're doing with the Advent wreath. We light 1 candle per Sunday to get ready for the coming, reminding us that the days are getting closer and closer to the time that Jesus is here. Can you think of other ways that we might prepare for Jesus' birth? Bradley? Studying the Bible, that's a good way. Making some devotional time, especially right now, to remember when Jesus came, right? What do you want to read in the Bible? What is it that you want to read in the Bible? About God, okay, Bradley? About Jesus being crucified as well as Jesus being born. There's stories of his birth. And I hope that you're going to be learning those lessons here in church, the scripture passages when Jesus is getting ready to be born. So you learn the story of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. All that should be familiar to you. You should learn that story. But there's another story as well There's the story of us waiting for Jesus to come again. Waiting for Jesus to come again. He promised us when he left that he would come again. And that's what we're waiting for, too. We're waiting for Jesus to come again. And I think that some of the things we can do to prepare for Jesus coming again is to act like he would want us to act, to love like he would want us to love. To be ready means to be faithful and strong and waiting for Jesus to come again. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Gracious God, we do wait for your coming into this world again. Ready our lives and our hearts for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I would like to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare this morning to present our tithes and offerings before the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your presence among us and know, dear God, that you are on this journey of Advent with us and that you will help prepare us and prepare our hearts to receive your Son again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just wanted to share something with the congregation this morning. First of all, Megan and I and her mother's family would like to thank all of you for your prayers and your support. We have felt it through this time. As most of you know, Megan's mother passed away on November 16th. She lost her dad on March 16th in 2007. Yesterday, she came in. Many of you have asked me how she's doing. Yesterday, she came in the living room and sat down, and she looked over at me. We'd been doing some shopping for Christmas stuff at the dollar store. She came in and sat down, and she said, "Nana," she said, "I just thought about this. My mommy is spending Christmas with my daddy this year." Amen. She was smiling. Her Nana was crying. Thank you all. You've been so wonderful and loving and kind. We appreciate it.
Now, if I don't get through this song without crying, you're going to know why. What was that, Paul? Okay, good. It was almost Christmas time, and there I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy, waiting anxiously, pacing around like little boys do, and in his hands he held a pair of shoes. His clothes were torn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. "Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas time and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, please? Daddy said there's not much time. See, Mama's been sick for quite a while. I know these shoes would make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful. If Mama meets Jesus tonight." They counted pennies for what seemed like years. Then the cashier said, "Son, that's not enough here." He searched his pockets frantically, and then he turned and looked at me. He said, "Mama made Christmas good at our house, and most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? I've just got to find a way to buy these shoes." So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget that look on his face. Said, "Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas time and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, please? Daddy said there's not much time. See, Mama's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes would make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas time and these shoes are just her size. Daddy said there's not much time. See, Mama's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes would make her smile.
Annette, I appreciate you for coming up and sharing with us. And we have been keeping you and Megan in our prayers for this time. We're also keeping Barbara Taylor in our prayers, and services for Frank were yesterday morning, and some of you were there. And so I'm so glad that Barbara is worshiping with us today as well. I want to invite us into a time of silence this morning. You might need to take a couple deep breaths. And close your eyes. And block out any voice besides God's. And feel the warming presence surrounding you in your life. Because you are a beloved child. He loves you with a love that is so great. He hurts when you hurt. He rejoices when you rejoice. And he goes with you at all times, in all places. Let him enter in. Let him touch your heart and soul. After some moments of quiet prayer, you are invited to share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you want praises or prayers for this morning from our God. Let us continue in prayer. Those without family this holiday. All of those grieving for the loss of their loved ones. We thank you, God, for your presence, your power, your healing touch today. Hear our prayers, O God. And help us to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would stand now and open your hymnals to page 131. Let us all sing together. We gather together.
Is found in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding, and what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. the living word of God for the people of God.
A friend of mine tells a story about when his kids were small some 25 years ago, because we're all getting older. He says, we were on one of those endless car trips from South Atlanta to Mount Airy, North Carolina for Thanksgiving weekend. We finally got everything and everyone loaded into the car and ready to go on our way at about 3 p.m. If we were lucky, he says, we'd get there by midnight. About 30 minutes from home, a little voice from the back seat piped up, and you know what he said, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. We just left home. 5 minutes later, are we there yet? No, read your book. 5 minutes later, are we there yet? No, I'll tell you when we get there. After about 15 or 20 more, are we there yet, inquiries, my friend says he exploded. No, and if you ask me that question one more time, you're in big trouble. After this blessed period of silence, a timid voice came from the back seat. Will I still be 5 years old when we get there? Advent is the season of waiting. Sometimes waiting patiently, but other times waiting quite impatiently. And what are we waiting for? Most of us, with the rest of the world, are waiting for Christmas to get here. And while we wait, we have a lot of practical things to do. We have presents to buy and wrap and send. We have cards to write and address and mail or email. We have parties to host or attend, which means decorations and cooking and on and on, and most of us are either going someplace or getting ready for people to come visit us. It's a busy time. But somehow, in the midst of all of that, we're supposed to find room in there for the religious part of our Christmas celebration. How do we do that? There are many times when many of us just wish it would come and go so that we can get on with our lives. For some, Christmas is a burden. There are other times when we wish it would wait a while and not come so quickly and give us more time to get ready. And those of us in the church are also waiting for still other things as well during the Advent season. We are waiting for Jesus to come again, to judge the living and the dead, as it says in our Apostles' Creed, which we say just about every week. Advent reminds us that God is not yet finished. Not yet finished with us, and not yet finished with the world. We're still waiting for more to come. Creation and redemption are not once and for all over and done with acts of God. God created the world and keeps on actively creating it. God in Christ acted to redeem the world, and God in Christ keeps on actively redeeming it. As Jeremiah says, he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. And until that is done, God is not done. God is not finished with us. Advent is also a time when we are waiting for the Christ child to be born anew in our hearts. And we know very well that life gets tiresome and weary, and our spirits grow numb and cold through the cares of life, the mistakes and the missteps which begin to pile up on us. We find ourselves slogging through to the best of our ability, but somehow our best does not seem to be good enough anymore. And so we wait. We wait for the child, the Christ child. We wait for the long-expected Jesus. We wait for a glimmer of light in the world's darkness. We wait for the renewal of hope in our lives. And while we wait, we look for signs that our time of waiting may soon be over. We need something to hang on to. We need something while we wait, a promise of some sort. So we wait and we ask, what are the things that we're supposed to look for? What will happen so that we will know that we're there, that you're here? Are we there yet? Many times, people have looked for these signs with a sense of dread and foreboding. Certain books, popular books in the media, and some preachers have used texts like the one in our gospel lesson to try to scare people into a commitment to Christ. But that's not the message Jesus is getting at here. The parable of the fig tree points to a more optimistic and hopeful promise. Jesus says, "You know that winter is almost over when the fig tree begins to sprout new leaves. That is a sign that the time of darkness and cold and death is almost over. The time of light and warmth and new life is at hand. Amazingly enough, the darkness holds a promise. Jesus is reminding us that the signs of the time are not bad, but good. Not doom and destruction, but joy and jubilation. The disturbances the world goes through when Christ enters in are not death rattles, but rather birth pangs. Not the end, but the beginning of life." So how are we to spend our time while we are waiting? Verse 34 says, "Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down." What if we translated that statement, "be on your guard," or as Robin read for us, "be alert," a little differently? Because the word can also mean pay attention to yourselves. Can't that mean that we should look after one another, take care of each other, protect each other from a loss of hope and faith? That's what we are to do, brothers and sisters. Pay attention to each other. Between the time when Jesus first came and the time when Jesus will come again, we have been called to a ministry of paying attention to each other. Jesus is calling us to actively participate in changing the world. He's calling us to become a part of the struggle for peace and justice and righteousness in the world. Jesus is calling us this morning to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to lift up the downtrodden, to bind up the brokenhearted, to raise the dead in spirit, to new life in Christ. In other words, Jesus is calling us not so much to look for signs of his coming, but instead to be signs of his coming. Jesus is calling us to be sprouts on the fig tree of new life. Jesus is calling us to be a voice louder than the roaring of the seas as we proclaim the love of God. Jesus is calling us to shine as bright as the sun and moon and stars as we show forth the light of Christ in a dark and lonely world. And when those little backseat voices ask us, "Are we there yet?" we can joyfully answer, "No, not yet, but we are on the road, and God is coming to meet us soon." Amen and amen.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
May the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father Almighty, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you go now in His peace. Amen.